I've had a phone call from the general manager of the New Northern Beaches Council. His name is Mark Ferguson. He's on the line right now. G'day, Mark.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Not bad. I've been commenting this morning on information I've received overnight about these poor people with these 10 homes, and I've made a number of comments that I believe to be correct in relation to whatever role the council may or may not have played in seawalls being installed at the front of these places. Can you enlighten us as to what the process is or was?
The most of the seawalls constructed along Collaro Beach have actually just been put there without approval in the 60s and the 70s, and the council has, over the last few years, been through a fairly extensive process with the community trying to establish. There is some opposition to them, but in saying that, the council actually adopted a coastal zone management plan that identified that there could be protection works undertaken, particularly around these 10 properties, because there are two seawalls on to the north of their properties and to the south of their properties. So there has been a proposal to talk about seawalls, but we've looked at mainly all of these seawalls have traditionally been funded by the private property owner, the council would be looking, in view of this major disaster, we'd be looking to work with the state government and the property owners and the council to seek a solution heading into the future.
Okay, now let's deal with these seawalls that are north and south of where the 10 homes are, and you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong. I've been told, and I've spoken to people who know a lot more about seawalls than me, that these were done by local residents with a DA to the old council, not the Northern Beaches Council, the amalgamated council, and approval was given, and then people with expertise in building seawalls were engaged, and the money was paid by the resident or residents to have the seawall, and as a result, those residents, which face the same gigantic seas as these 10 houses, have suffered very minor damage, but not extensive damage.
Yes, well, it's been the works that have been undertaken have been primarily undertaken at the private property owner's expense. That's correct. The council, to my knowledge, hasn't actually expended significant funds on the seawalls to date.
But do they make a DA application to you? Is it the subject of some building application before they can go ahead, and there's got to be GA science evidence that they put it in the right place and protect the home and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, that's spot on. That's exactly how they do it. And there have been some in recent times, but most of the seawalls you'll find that were constructed in the 60s and 70s weren't necessarily the subject of any approval. They were basically put
but,
in there.
But would it be fair to say that they've been effective even though they go back 30, 40, 50 years?
Yeah, yes. Some of them are that may be suffering some breaches. So there are some doubts with some of the seawalls, but it's a case of this is a great opportunity with the new council to revisit where we're at with the seawalls and also revisit the coastal zone management plan for the Collaro Beach.
Okay, now just a few misnomers that have come in this morning. Someone phoned my colleague Alan Jones and said that Collaro Beach homeowners were told by council that they built a stone wall to protect their homes, they'd be sued. Given that we have a new council, amalgamated council, do you know anything about that?
No, I don't, because the council now has an adopted coastal zone management plan that has a number of strategies for how we could actually protect these properties, and basically they'd need to work with the council.
Oh, of course, you can't just go and put a wall up there without some intervention from experts and making sure that other residents. Now, I'll tell you what else I've been told, and you can, comment on this or not, that there are 10 homes in question, that there had been GA technical advice that a seawall was required for the 10 homes, but it would be folly to, build it in front of one, two, or three, or four, or five homes. There had to be a whole approach to it. In other words, all 10 homes needed to come together and protect their property. And according to people I've spoken to this morning, it appears that either one or two of the homeowners didn't want to be involved in that, so that made it difficult for the other eight to build a seawall because they wouldn't protect everyone, and if they left it open at one end or the other in the middle, it would still advance towards their homes. Do you know anything about that? And in fact, is there a recommendation from this council or a previous council that they should be encouraged to build a seawall outside their home?
Yeah, well, firstly, you're quite right in saying that there's no way you could just construct one seawall around one or two or three or four or five or even seven or eight properties.
You've got to do the 10.
Got to basically link the two walls together, because you have the edge impact that can come in behind the walls and actually erode the properties anyway, which we're actually experiencing further north today as well. So that's the case. As far as the individuals, I am told that there were one or two individuals that weren't in a financial position to actually support that, so it didn't proceed. But that's, but once again, that's something we can revisit and look at mechanisms to.
So it's not an urban myth that eight people said yay and two people weren't in a position to say yay, so it didn't happen.
I'm not. I have been told that, but I haven't seen any evidence to that effect. But that is what I have been told.
Okay. And a suggestion that the council denied an opportunity to build a seawall has no validity?
The council, going back 20 years, talked about building a seawall, and there was a fairly significant protest by a range of groups complaining about the impact on the amenity of the beach. But since that time, there's been engagement with the community, and this coastal zone management plans identifies, particularly in this area in front of those 10 properties, that a seawall would represent probably the best protective work.
What was spoken about this morning, you know, could be from 20 years ago when other than council people objected to seawalls because they didn't think it was right. And I guess there are other people saying, Mark, and this is not a matter for you, that perhaps with the fullness of or the benefit of hindsight, these homes should never have been built on that site anyway because it's a very narrow strip of land between Pittwater Road and the beach anyway.
Yes, well, it is. It's pretty tight there. That's true. But the issue is we have got properties there in private ownership, and
so you can't just simply go along and say sorry. I know you built this point for $2.5 or $3 million, but the council's going to rescind that and say we want the property back because it's
that's correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a juggling act for you, the state government, and the insurance companies, I'd say, from here on in. Whether they can be built on land, even if the house was demolished, is also problematic, I'd imagine, given that there's a limited amount of land there now, given half it's been washed into the sea.
Yes, they're all issues that we need to work through with the property owners and our engineers.
Okay, I thank you for jumping on the line. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you, Ray.
That's the General Manager of the Northern Beaches Council, Mark Ferguson, heard my comments earlier, and basically what we've been told by people in the area is exactly right. It's 26 minutes away from 11.